Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need.
Marketing wizards?
Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Back by dope demand, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Inter are into the final, and there's another lot trying to buy Newcastle United. It's Tuesday, 18th of August. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Pete Donaldson.
And I'm Andy Brassel.
A little bit of King B to kick us off there, Andy. Know what I'm saying? And I think you do.
I do.
I think you do. Talking of King Bees.
Beyonce's here.
Nonsense, no. Poopy pants.
Right.
Ronald Koeman.
It happened. Seconds after we left the studio. Marcus, have you got a bee on the inside?
Oh.
Have you got a flea in your ear? Have you got a fly on the wall?
I just see things.
You just see things.
I just feel energies.
Yeah.
And I knew that he was off. He was off there. The one I didn't see was John Obi Mikel to Stoke City.
That's a big one as well.
Gordon Bennett, football, calm down.
Yeah. I forgot that he changed his name from Michael to Mikel, like by Depol.
Oh.
Because his name is Michael, I think, isn't it? But it was written incorrectly by the Nigerian Football Association.
Oh, is that right?
And so people started calling him John Obi Mikel or John Mikel Obi.
Mm.
And he liked it, so he just kept, he changed his name legally.
When did Jermaine Genus put that extra E in his name, Andy? That's what I want to know.
Genus!
Yeah. Go on then. Before we get on to all that Inter business, Ronald Koeman of Barcelona, Andy, come on.
Yeah.
Well, how is any of you not convinced by that?
Well,
the past.
I do think.
Well.
I do
You're
think
still angry about that free kick and that, you know, when he hauled down David Platt.
Aren't we all?
We are, but we have to forgive and forget, Andy.
I think it's a lot to do with chronology on both sides of it.
Mm-hmm.
In that I don't think he's necessarily the best candidate for the job out there. And I'm not saying that because of his absolutely bloody wretched spell at Valencia, because that was a long time ago now.
Am I going to have to invoke the spirit of Frank Rijkaard here again?
Does he steal microphones from people he doesn't agree with as well?
I hope so. Go on, expand on that.
I was going to say, what's the deal with Koeman is, I suppose, it's potentially not great for him. It's potentially not great for the Dutch, I think is really unfortunate.
Oh, the Netherlands have lost out here. There's no doubt about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and I think...
Let's be honest. Euro 2020 is not going to happen. Next summer either.
He would have loved to stay for the Euros. I mean, I think when you compare him to other coaches who've been sacked from top jobs and ended up going back to manage a national team, like a lot of them are just like marking time until they get a, in inverted commas, proper job. Whereas he has really embraced it. He's been present at the games. He's probably coached the
minimum.
Players. well, no, it's something that a lot.
Oh, you mean the club games?
Yeah, it's, yeah. It's something that a lot of international coaches don't do.
Jürgen Klinsmann.
You get an impression that a lot of them sort of do it by correspondence. It's criticism that Gus Hiddink got in Turkey, for example. Whereas he made a meaningful connection with the players. Mm-hmm. He got to know the players and the group around the squad as well to make everyone feel that it was competition. And
of basics I think every national team manager... What are the rest doing that this shouldn't be...
Well, I know it sounds bad, like an international manager who looks like he gives a shit.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, what?
But I think you can assume too much in this day and age.
Yeah.
I think it is about chronology, though. Firstly, because of the postponement of the Euros, it feels like it's longer for him to hang on to the other side of the Euros. And that Barcelona opportunity, which he's always been waiting for, as you said,
clubman,
is not going to be there on the other side of it. Mm-hmm. He's 57 years old now.
Is he that old?
And, of course, he's had heart surgery earlier
this
summer.
Well, this is not going to help,
is it? Which I think is something that makes you think, well, this is my opportunity. Let's do it. I mean, he has got what we call the relative security of a 2-year contract.
Yeah.
Because, of course, the Barcelona president is going to be gone by next year, Josep Bartomeu, at the very latest.
Does he know this?
Probably before that. Well, they brought the election forward to March.
Oh.
I still think that means...
Is he not going to try and delay it people?
He's dismantling the postal machines.
Smashing up post boxes with a hammer, yeah. I think... the thing is, you have to ask about Bartomeu, how much damage can he do in those remaining months?
Quite a bit.
Quite a lot, because there's at least one transfer window in that time. But for Koeman, it's just a one-off chance, and he has to take it.
Is it an affordable option compared to other ones they could have made?
Who cares?
I think if you go for say, a Pochettino, he's going to want more autonomy, longer contract, all that sort of stuff. I think that sort of rules it out. Rather than the Espanyol stuff is a kind of red herring, really. I mean, he's buried that. He kind of said that. He admitted in that interview with El País when he was in a bit of a panic when he was spotted coming out of a restaurant with Bartomeu because their kids were going to a similar educational group, I think. So it was just coincidence, but he was like, look, I'd never managed Barcelona or Arsenal,
well, actually,
as you come to mention
But then he changed his tune because I'm pretty sure he said, if George Graham can manage Tottenham Hotspur, I can manage Barcelona. So
the question is, does Mauricio Pochettino at the front of his house have a ceramic crest of Espanyol, which would need to be dug up a la George Graham?
Quite possibly, but we shouldn't...
George Graham, big Espanyol man.
We shouldn't speculate too much on that. One thing, though, that we can dive into is the Europa League, of course. We now know who will face your beloved Sevilla in the final. It'll be Inter.
My beloved Sevilla.
Correct, Andy. Andy, you love Sevilla, you love Lyon, you love AFC Wimbledon. That's a good collection of teams. Well, the foreign ones are obviously better. But, you know, that's a lovely old job.
It's a good tournament.
Lyon is a beautiful place. Sevilla is a marvellous place as well. You've chosen very well, my friend.
It's a good Hong Kong tournament where you sort of go, how did Wimbledon get here?
Yeah, exactly. The Hong Kong, is it sixes
Hong
or
Kong
sevens?
Sevens, yeah.
Get them in the Hong Kong sevens.
It's like, well, AFC Wimbledon wouldn't normally come to a tournament like this, but as we are being paid $10 million by the Moonies,
we'll be
that's
there.
Fine.
Do you know why Pete mentions the Hong Kong sevens? Because you remember who the reigning champions are, don't you?
Newcastle United.
There you are, you see.
Really?
Yeah. Unless it actually happened just like last month, they managed to squeeze that tournament.
I think Hong Kong's busy.
I'm getting confused. Who won the Mercantile Trophy?
Never heard of it.
Back in
the
80s.
You could say anything. You could say Leatherhead under 18. And I was up
trophy.
For an award and I missed out on a medal for all I know.
What's the Mercantile Trophy?
It was done at Wembley for, I think it must have been the 100th anniversary of the FA.
Right, okay.
And I remember thinking, oh, Wimbledon are playing at Wembley, and then we lost to Tranmere in like a 45-minute game.
That is gutting, isn't it? Yeah. My goodness, my goodness. Well, anyway, back to the proper footballing matters. Inter, the biggest winning margin in a Europa League / UEFA Cup semi-final. I mean, the scoreline, we look at that chart, we talk about Manchester United missing chance against Sevilla, obviously. Shakhtar missed a good chance at 1-0, but you felt that with Lukaku up front, Peter, that Inter always had a little bit too much for those Ukrainian chaps.
Yeah, Shakhtar sort of started to come into it like back end of the first half, but Inter was just like, no, we're not having that. Yeah. Inter played on the break and just watching Lukaku just marching through. His season has been ridiculous. I mean, yeah. He didn't have any preseason. Let's make that very clear. Mm-hmm. Just the way he's been playing this season. Is just
when was the preseason? Was that the pandemic bit?
No, it was when
it's
he was,
all to cock, isn't it?
His preseason for the start of last season.
I see what you mean.
With the protracted kind of conversations with Manchester United, obviously. But yeah, to put in that kind of performance in Serie A and latterly in this competition, smashing Alan Shearer's Europa League record. Annoying.
That is a great shot. Yeah, when he powered past that defender late on in the game, you're like, oh yes, go on, my son.
The floor is lava. The floor is Kuchelava in that particular situation. Floor with a W there. Because I really felt sorry for him because he was just look, I was just on one. Yeah. He's like, oh, I'm just going to stop running.
I think any man who
It looks worse if I keep running.
Any man who can bring a big smile, dare I even say grin, to Antonio Conte's face and get an embrace from him when he comes off has done well, Andy. You've got to say.
Look, I know like we're Ramble listeners are investing a lot in Pete and Vish at the moment, but I think Antonio Conte versus Lukaku really is the bromance of the season.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. Mm. And I think sometimes a transfer just works on all levels. Mm-hmm. So Lukaku desperately wanted this move. Mm-hmm. Antonio Conte desperately wanted him. And made merry hell at boardroom level to make sure he got him. Yeah. I know, unlike him, I know what you're thinking.
So you mean he had a conversation with them?
Yeah. And as it worked out, Solskjaer really desperately wanted to get rid of him as well. And you know what? Lukaku has really responded to that. I mean, we've said it before on here. All the other stuff that people said he wasn't suited for, and yeah, the goals are the goals, and of course they're the main
His
bit of the season.
Goal isn't bad.
Yeah, it's incredible this season particularly. But all that stuff that people said he wasn't good at and he didn't really like to do at United, like holding the ball up and doing that sort of dirty work, he's happy to do it for Conte.
Yeah.
So what happens when you're in love, isn't it, Peter?
Well, you change your body shape, certainly. I know I do. Which is exactly what Lukaku did.
Have you changed your drinking habits?
Never. All right. But Horncastle in the Athletic, Honey in the Air, I call it, he wrote a lovely... He's got a lovely piece about how loved he's been this season.
You
my other bromance is trying to get Andy to laugh.
I tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, he succeeded emphatically there.
Yeah. Horny in the air. Little touches like giving like...
Horny in the AF, you could say.
Yeah,
as well.
Horny in the AF. Horny AF. Yeah. little touches... little touches like giving up penalties for younger players to slot home for their debut goals and stuff. It's been such a romantic story, and like you kind of forget that like he's got a 1-2 record, which is very rare at any level in football these days.
It's Messi
very
Ronaldo,
rare,
mate.
Well,
so...
it's very rare at any level in football, especially when you know a lot of teams don't go for recognised strikers and
an unselfish striker like
unselfish
him as well.
Striker. Well, yeah, he's given up penalties left, right, and centre, even when he shouldn't to other people. But he's not historically played in the best sides. He's played in that kind of like mid-tier to Champions League kind of chasing pack.
Disrespectful to West Brom.
Well, imagine if he played for a Man City. He'd be Aguero kind of level. His record would be Aguero level. It's just like, it is already ridiculous, but he would be recognised as this kind of Ronaldo level genius that he obviously is now, that he's obviously put in such a performance this season.
But the thing is, fellas, if you look at leading strikers in the world like over the last 5 years or so, I think you can make a strong argument that Lukaku at 27 is going to get better and is going to get better for a number of years. You look at Lewandowski, who's just had his greatest season ever at 31.
He's a very good striker, I'd say.
It is fair to say. But, you know, you look at the top scorers in Serie A over, well, a number of years now. You know, you go from Di Natale, Luca Toni, players like that. Mm-hmm. You look at Aris Adjuriz, Athletic Bilbao. I reckon there's a genuine sense that Lukaku can become better and better and better. And clearly, his tactical understanding of the game for a centre forward.
Well, that's what I was about to say.
Excellent.
I think that's underplayed often.
It really is underplayed, and it shouldn't have been underplayed, particularly since his role in Brazil beating Belgium.
Yeah, it's exactly
Brazil
the game.
Beating Belgium, Belgium beating Brazil in the last World Cup.
But that's what I mean by an unselfish striker.
Yeah,
he's.
It's fine being unselfish, but you've got to be clever as well.
Yeah, and, you don't want to be too like Giroud. I sort of think to myself, be a little bit more selfish, mate. You could, but obviously,
you're watching your career go past you.
World Cup winner, though. But yes, no, I, but with Lukaku, you know. There's so much to his game. And I think, you know, we saw the potential when you know, he's banging in goals, saves for West Brom. And he went to Everton. He was scoring a lot of goals there.
Chelsea was an aberration. Like, look at his goal record. It was incredible.
Did he score for Chelsea?
He didn't score for Chelsea.
Yeah, sorry, that's what I mean. Yeah, it's a strange one. But I mean,
only 10 matches. Like, I guess... was that Premier League? But either way, like his goal,
I think
was pretty...
Chelsea were in the Prem at the time. but then at Manchester United, he still scored a few, but it was a bit of a strange one. Mm. And post Ferguson and different managers and so on and so forth. But he has adapted superbly well at Inter, which is pleasing to see. And he's, of course, there's a bit of a former Premier League contingent there, which Conte has called on, which is what we know. It's lovely to see Ashley Young having a good time as well, Andy.
He is, and he's been fantastic. He's had an absolute new lease of life since he's been there. But because we've talked about Ashley Young a little bit recently, sure. I would like to focus on
Please.
The click between Lukaku and Lautaro. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
You don't get a whole lot of front twos in world football. And actually, James Horncastle suggested earlier in the season that maybe they were the best front two in the world. Mm-hmm. Now, it's kind of because not that many teams play with two up front anymore. It's kind of a small field. Mm. But the complementarity of the two of them, it's like when Barcelona, and we know they love a bonkers transfer, of course, but when they have been all in to buy Lautaro Martinez, right up until the point where they're like, all right, we can't convince anyone that they've got the money. We've got the money to do this, and they don't want all our old shit that we're trying to get rid of.
Yeah.
I think that it's hard to imagine Lautaro outside of that context at the moment, just because him and Lukaku fit together so well. And funnily enough, since football has come back, and because Alexis Sanchez has been fit again, as I think has been part of it, I think Lautaro's head was a little bit affected by all the speculation, which never really stopped. His form dipped a little bit, and Alexis has been better than Lautaro since the restart. But now Alexis got his injury, of course, in the last game, and Lautaro feels really back on it. But that was the first game for a while where Lautaro and Lukaku, who have been brilliant together this season, felt like they properly clicked together again. Because I think if you look at the actual content of the game, it doesn't feel like Inter gave a five-star performance.
The scoreline, if you didn't see
that, they were just clinical.
Yeah, if you finished their
chances. They both had headers quite early on, and one team scored them, the other one didn't.
Yeah, well, that's right. Yeah, but just to put it in a little bit more context as well, with Lukaku, who's scored in 10 straight Europa League games, if he gets another goal, obviously in the final, then he will match the achievement of Brazilian Ronaldo. I hate the fact that you have to say Brazilian Ronaldo, but obviously these are the times we live in. He scored 34 goals in all competitions in 97-98, which is the most by an Inter player in their debut season at the club. So that's what Lukaku's doing this season at the moment. You know, he's having a phenomenal time. And if they can beat Sevilla, finishing second in Serie A, obviously very difficult to get the better of Juventus. But if they can finish with Europa League win, you know, finish second in the league, that's a great season.
They weren't bad in the Champions League. They were unlucky at times, I thought.
They were, absolutely.
Absolutely.
I felt sorry for the Shakhtar manager, David Byrne, from Talking Heads. Very upset. Very looking bereft on the touchline.
He walked off just going, same as it ever was.
Where is my beautiful wife?
Socially distanced.
I don't want to stereotype Portuguese coaches, but as Luis Castro was putting his hand on his face, you could hear the fado in the background, couldn't you?
You could hear the what?
The fado is incredibly... It's like
mournful,
sort of traditional Rucci Portuguese music.
Yeah, obviously I know that.
When we went to Portugal, we listened to some while we had some din-dins.
Oh yeah, so we did. Mm. Yeah, that's right.
Then we went over the road to a nightclub.
Yes. What was it called? The Viking Club?
Yes, yeah.
Let's not say what
Let's
happened
not
in there.
Say what happened there.
So I have to say...
It was a nightclub. It wasn't anything naughty. It was just a nightclub. It was.
Yeah. You can't take anything Pete says at face value, because when he was miming Fardo there, it did look like he was doing George Formby.
When I'm cleaning sadness.
When I'm eating natters. Yeah. Well, yeah, let's move on from that evening. No, we didn't do anything bad. It was just that...
You were involved, Marcus. You're a man of God. You wouldn't have any of it.
I was not.
I try to drag you into these places.
How dare you? Not yeah, I know that's the last time that'll happen.
Do they have Baileys in Portugal?
I don't know, actually. That'd be good on a pastel de nata.
It
in
would.
The timeout square. Fucking timeout square. Go to the timeout square. Brilliant. No, I don't want to. It's too busy.
Leave a review. You've done loads yourselves. Right then. Let's go to Florida.
Whoa, what?
Yes, Florida.
The panhandle.
Indeed. The panhandle. well, this happened a few days ago, but speaking of Inters, I thought we'd talk about Inter Miami for a moment, because we haven't talked about Blaise Matuidi going there, which is a huge signing.
Mm.
It's a huge, huge signing. I thought he had... Well, actually, I'm about to disrespect MLS here. I was about to say, he's got a bit more in the tank. Yeah. But, you know, World Cup winner, he's won a lot of trophies and so on. And him and Juventus mutually agreed to terminate the last year of his contract. And I don't know, I think, from as I understand, David Beckham seems to be a bit hands-on. There was, the Scottish lad whose name escapes me, who said Beckham even messaged him on Insta. On
cool.
Instagram, gave him a little... personal message saying, oh, looking forward to having you at the club or something like that. And I think, you know...
Doesn't take much, does it?
That
knocks 10 grand off the weekly wage. If you get one DM per quarter from David Beckham's account.
If you get a DM from D-Beck, you're a bit like, all right, you've convinced me. I was about to go to Barcelona. I'm 26 years old, but you've twisted my arm.
How much would he charge on Cameo, do you reckon?
Oh, can you imagine? I've spent... who's the bloke in Three Men and a Lady?
Tom Selleck.
No.
Steve Guttenberg.
I spent 150 on him.
Did you?
And he looked
that
great.
Sounds like a bargain, actually. Steve Guttenberg.
Not bad.
I reckon that's decent.
Why? The great Carly, I think, was about 50 quid. The gigantic Indian wrestler. Maybe Pakistani.
You treated me to a bit of Gabby Agbonlahor.
How he much was reassuringly cheap at 40, I think. I think
40 quid?
After he was on the Ramble, he put his price up. So, you know.
Ah.
People were clearly getting involved.
Well, if he's still...
All right, Marcus.
Oh, Sven Goran Eriksson was a great England manager.
Did you see Dennis Rodman when one of Andrea Petagna of Spal, who's joining Napoli this summer, one of his relatives, I think, got Dennis Rodman to say hello to him. And Dennis Rodman was confused because he thought, Andrea, it's a woman. And he's like, I hope you have a great day, baby.
Lovely.
It was good.
Enjoyable.
He'd price himself out on Cameo, wouldn't he? On that thing.
Rodman.
Yeah.
Rodman. I think he's probably... Well,
I think it's about 600, something like that.
600. That's not 1,000. You know what he's like.
It's not bad going. Not bad going.
Depends, though. How is that per word? You've got to think about these things. But Matuidi going to Inter Miami, it's a great signing for them. The World Cup winner. A World Cup winner in any league, of course, by definition, is quite a rare thing. But in MLS, I mean, I think David Villa, maybe. But there's not too many. But, of course, he played with Beckham at PSG. Former teammates.
Yeah.
So there's your link there.
He was talking about having conversations with Sarri, obviously.
Yeah.
He said, I knew Sarri as a manager, but then I saw Sarri the man. And I was thinking, you saw the outline of Sarri the man.
Yeah, I was going to say. It's like playing a game of Laser Quest.
Then Sarri the man appeared. It was like stars in their eyes.
Well, you know, in the... The second mention of stars in their eyes.
Yeah, I very much enjoyed the idea of someone coming out as Henry Kelly. Matthew Kelly.
Yeah,
Henry Kelly. That would have been a shock.
Yeah,
you can never tell what's on the other side of the dry ice.
Yeah. My goodness.
Hello there.
Who am I?
Or Graham Kelly.
Yeah,
just come out as Graham Kelly.
Can't do the FA Cup draw.
Confusing. Graham Kelly used to do the FA Cup draw and he had a very high voice.
Well, he was the head of the FA.
He was the head of the FA. Yeah. It was Alan Ball-esque. It was like...
He looked a bit like Postman Pat, didn't he?
Yes. That's what... As I got old... He stopped being on television because as I got older, yeah. I couldn't hear him.
That's what Stars and
his voice was.
That's what Stars and Rise should be. It shouldn't be singing.
It should be ex-heads of the FA.
Well, anything right. You like. Okay. You just carry out a duty.
I'm
going to
be
a
fucking a Michelin... tire.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll put you up. Yeah, there you are. There's the quick
rolling.
Up you go. And just stand up there for a bit. Okay. Right, there we go. Time for an ad break. You know, something like that.
Is there an inanimate object that you look like the most, Marcus?
Oh, an inanimate object, yeah. You say? I don't know.
Or any object.
I can't think off the top of my head. Let me have a think in the break.
All right, have a think.
You know what? I think Blaise Matuidi is sitting at home with his beats on now going, this is bullshit. This is the first time I've been on the Football Ramble.
Surely we mentioned him when he won the World Cup. I don't know. Maybe we didn't. Yeah. Well, he said that the first contact with Inter Miami was in December. A relation of David called me to ask if I was interested. A relation? Was it Victoria? I mean, it's not a relation. I think
it's associate and it's not been correctly translated. Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah.
It would be amazing if, you know, just his mum.
Just to clarify, obviously Victoria is not a relation of David. That is against the law. But anyway, he said, at the time I told myself it was too early. Brooklyn, baby. Let's go for Brooklyn.
Brooklyn, okay.
He's doing the hard yards, getting in the World Cup.
Well, he is a relation of David Beckham and Victoria Beckham.
Exactly. So, ticks all the boxes, doesn't he, quite frankly. Yeah. Why on earth is he not more involved, I would argue. But at the time I told myself it was too early in my career. You see, even old Blaise is saying this. The Euros were to come and the COVID problems didn't exist. For me, it was
in my body.
Wasn't
he tested like three times and he just kept failing?
Because he joins the likes of Carlos Vela and Nani stateside. Isn't that Nani's at Orlando?
Yeah, and he's doing a very good job there and he looks wonderful in the purple.
Oh, he does.
Cut price Fiorentina.
European Championship winner.
Yeah, absolutely.
Get all the winners in.
But, and I say this with all due respect to Carlos Vela, the King of Los Angeles, Matuidi is miles better than any of those players.
That's what I mean. This is
absolutely miles better. I know he's...
This is a great signing.
He can run more than any of the other Juventus midfielders.
Right.
He's capable in a number of positions.
Yep.
He's still in France's best 11.
Yes.
He's got like eight lungs.
Well, this is the thing, Andy. This is why I think this is a brilliant signing, because some players go there.
Some of them aren't COVID. I haven't got the... obviously, he was very, very well for a very long time, wasn't
he? Yeah, that's right, yeah.
He's probably more susceptible to it.
Yeah, well, let's hope he's got antibodies now.
Yes.
By now. With some players... I mean, I've really got Andrea Pirlo in mind. That's what I've got. Goes over there and thinks, this will be quite nice. Oh, actually, this is quite fast and physical. And it was quite difficult for Pirlo, who did okay, but wasn't as good as maybe we'd hoped. But Matuidi, he's got the intelligence, he's got the flexibility in terms of tactics, and he has the engine. There's so much to his game that will translate very well, you would have thought.
There was never any sense that his game was falling off a cliff.
No.
I think if you look at some other Juventus midfielders, and I'm really thinking of Sami Khedira, who's got a lot of miles on the clock and a lot of injuries now.
Yep.
You think that's a big wage for someone to take on.
Yes.
There were other huge European clubs who would have taken Matuidi in a flash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I think it's a marvellous signing.
But he's going to have super time. If I can predict a bromance for him, it's going to be Jimmy Butler, who plays for the Miami Heat.
Oh.
Who he's their star player, quite a loud personality. He comes over and visits Paris quite a lot when he's got time off, and he's become pally with Neymar. So Blaise probably knows him already.
Well, in the Miami Heat and Blaise, you know, there's obvious problems there, but we won't bother, ladies and gentlemen, because we're going to go for a break.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. I've still not thought of an inanimate object I look like, but...
I have been reading about Jimmy Butler.
Have you?
He's apparently selling... he's got access to his own French press coffee machine, and he's selling cups of coffee, large cups of coffee for $20, medium cups of coffee for $20, or small cups of coffee for $20. Right. Big Face Coffee, he set up his own little coffee stand at the Disney complex, which is very exciting.
Well, it's a great understanding of economics, isn't
it?
It's like, no one can get decent coffee in the bubble. I'm going to charge you $20, you rich bastards.
I like him.
I can't stand coffee, but even I would go, well, I'll just have a large one then, if it's the same.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Worth it.
Just share it around to all these coffee lovers who are starved of the good stuff. My goodness. Right, ladies and gentlemen, it's now time for this.
We concentrate on the topics. We're pretty good to many topics today.
What changes would you make to food at football stadiums? Not coffee. Food.
More of it.
Absolutely. That is the topic for this week. All this week, of course, we want to know what changes you'd make to food at football stadiums. I shall begin with this email from Sam Graham, who says, "Hi guys, I think all football grounds should sell bowls of spaghetti bolognese. What could go wrong?" Sam, you shouldn't be free. With ideas like that, you should be on the margins of our society.
Have you ever tried to eat spaghetti with a plastic fork? Impossible. It's the forks they get hot and they bend or they snap. Yeah. It's a nightmare.
Also, but
we can't be promoting plastic forks on the podcast.
Well, look, fork meets head. That's what is going to be happening. They're going to be throwing, like, they used to throw darts in the 80s. They're going to get forks in heads.
Come along. People are going to start saying Daniel Forker of this chat. So let's. That's my cue to move on, I think.
Is it?
I am one of those annoying people that cuts up spaghetti.
Oh, do you do like the scissors? Like that?
No, as in like knife and fork, cut it up.
You're kidding.
No.
Really?
Yeah, and I like to be as xenophobic as possible. As disrespectful.
Clip that.
Disrespectful to other...
Does it ramp up the heat when it comes to a lady in the tramp kind of moment with your good lady?
Yeah, that's not how we met. I thought to myself, this is not going to work. I'm going to have to take...
Now you're married, you cut off the spaghetti shot, so
I'm gonna
a lady
cut to the chase by giving her a really short bit of spaghetti.
That's the trick, people.
Tee-hee.
Judge me on my results. So there we are.
Okay, Marco Cabanillas has been in touch via email and says, what about the ability to pre-order my halftime meal and pay for it ahead of time electronically, even throw in a nice tip? This way the kitchens know what to put out ahead of time. You can come up to the counter, flash your pay code, and you're handed the food and drink immediately. Then you're back to your seat without missing the kickoff. Well, do you know you can pre-order pints at AFC Wimbledon. You've been able to do
Palace
that
as well, yeah.
Right. Yeah, and there's a little. I wouldn't go as far as posh at Wimbledon. It's like pasting table with loads of pints with your name stuck to it and like a raffle ticket.
Oh, nice.
Presumably that will be upgraded in the new stadium.
Yes, you'd hope so. I tell you what, Marco emailing there about all that. Get yourself in the corporates. That's where you want to go.
Oh, well, pal. I mean, like, my mate Chris took us to Palace last year with his dad, and I did the pre-order. Mm. And then, but they don't really sort of put your name on them. They're just kind of just out.
Oh.
Like, just extra pints. I'm like, oh, yeah, I drank so many pints. I drank so many free pints.
Did you drink other people's pints?
I did, yeah. Not coming out of my pocket, is it? I'm joking, Marcus. I wouldn't dare do that.
It's like a sort of a...
Not in the corporates.
Minesweeping at football. This is new.
This is like some sort of Donny's Millions, sort of Brewster's Millions sort of scenario. What's better than drinking pints?
Other people's pints. How to get ahead in some football supporting. Yeah.
Next time he's going to avoid detection by stealing a few Bacardi breezers. Bit of Mets.
Yeah, the art of the deal with Pete Donaldson. Hello to Joe Tubbs on email. I think that on any match day, clubs should place McDonald's Monopoly style stickers on some food items so fans can win prizes. This could include things like discounted tickets, box seats, and free stadium tours, etc.
Nice.
So the clubs don't lose out on business. These foods should be priced slightly higher than the others.
He works for a club, doesn't he?
I'm having that, yeah.
I mean, does that happen at McDonald's? Do you get prizes with
the Monopoly
with
ones? Yeah, I didn't
is it
realize
still going
it
was, on?
Yeah, I think so. I think there might have been a ruling this year that prevented them from doing it because it's a bit of a lottery. I don't really know.
You are our McDonald's correspondent.
Well, now Vish isn't. Fish isn't here.
That's right.
He's not here. So
for older listeners, when we used to record in one of Pete's bedrooms, I'd often get a call on my way up in North London Archway. Mm-hmm. Pete would sort of call and go, "Can you get me a Big Mac meal deal with a chocolate milkshake?" Yeah, that was his order of choice.
And that's why I'll die young. Because of that Archway McDonald's and Sam's Chicken on Kentish Town High Street.
Yeah.
It's a great idea. Discounted tickets. I mean, Newcastle United had already given away 10,000 free, so just support Newcastle, I guess.
Yeah, well...
Just to clarify, Sam's Chicken.
Mm. I think it might be Sam's Chicken, actually, on Kentish Town High Street.
But did they put an extra chicken on after Eric Jemba appeared?
Quite possibly.
They used to annoy me terribly because they would cook the... I've spoke about this at length before on every podcast I've ever been on, but they used to cook the fries to order. Now, you have fast food, just cook them, put the salt on them. I don't care how old they are, put them under the lamps and I eat them. All right? Yep. Don't care.
Misunderstood that because when you said they cook the fries to order... You'd like I took that as like, well, can I have paprika on it or whatever?
Well, that would be nice. That would be a nice move.
They're very good. Mm. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let's know your suggestions. Email us show@footballrambledaily.com or tweet us using the hashtag #RambleTopics. Now then, yet another Newcastle United takeover rumour.
Yes!
This is the one. This is happening.
This is the one.
This is the one. This is the one. This is the one. This is the one.
We're not paying for that. It's not accurate enough.
Oh, yeah, exactly. That's what happened. Yeah, very good point.
Not like other podcasts who use music illegally. Right.
The Singapore-backed, Paris-based company. How many locations are they based in? The such and such group. They claim it's hell talks with Newcastle United over a possible takeover. They've offered £280 million, which I'll tell you now, chaps, that is below the asking price. You're going to have to up that.
£70 million below. giving the club the respect it very much deserves.
I am nowhere near this deal, if indeed this is actually happening or not. But I know that that's not going to be accepted.
But why would you offer the same? You know Ashley's over a barrel.
Mm.
Why?
Is he?
Yeah, that's a fucking image.
Yeah, but that's just to do with a heavy night out, though. Presumably,
he's in a barrel, rolling down a hill. How'd I get here?
Oh, thank goodness, there's a fireplace to vomit in. But yeah, this is the sixth group linked with a takeover since October 2017,
and they've chosen a hell of a figurehead.
They have. This gives me hope because apparently Alan Shearer. And Michael Chopra.
Now, Alan Shearer is not fronting
the deal.
Yeah, Alan Shearer is not fronting this deal.
Is he not?
Michael Chopra very much is. Now,
okay.
3rd of August, Michael Chopra tweets, get the cans from the bin and put them back in the fridge. Geordie's watch this space. Hashtag takeover. Hashtag NUFC. Hashtag Newcastle United. Now, I don't know whether he drinks or not, but you don't put the cans in the bin when they're not going to be... You put them... You take them out of the fridge. Put them in the cupboard or whatever.
Well, don't take anything out of the bin and put it in your fridge.
All bits of chicken. My dad used to eat chicken out of the bin.
Carry on.
Disgusting.
Come on.
This morning, the Belegraph Nova Group claiming, obviously, it's held to talks with Newcastle United over a possible takeover. Now, we understand that shell companies exist and people do things through different companies for obvious reasons to avoid scrutiny that would otherwise take place. But I spent 5 minutes this morning, right?
What are you getting at, Peter?
Their Twitter account started in August.
Right.
The Belegraph Nova Group.
Okay.
The website didn't exist before June.
Okay.
According to their IP lookup.
So they're getting their house in order quickly.
Getting their house in order.
Yeah, okay.
Check the registration document. It won't surprise anyone when I say that it's a Wix template, their website.
Right, like
The address of the group, Templace Vendôme in Paris, of course, is a Regis kind of virtual mailbox / virtual / rental, rent by the day, rent by the week, rent by the month office, fronted by a footballer who in court defended a cocaine cartel. Put that Mbappe on ice, guys. Fucking PSG, don't you dare play him tonight. He's coming, baby. Stick that muck in my arms.
Yeah. So what you're saying is, if this takeover doesn't happen, it's a conspiracy against Newcastle
it's a
United
conspiracy
and all their fans.
War flag, get their flag up about the Premier League.
Do you know what? I absolutely love it.
Fine, upstanding companies with Wix templated websites. Registered in June.
What about GoDaddy? Were they involved?
GoDaddy.
GoDaddy.
That's classic football ramble.
Gorgeous. Absolutely beautiful. Gorgeous. So, I mean, I find it interesting when you have the fans of the club. I understand as much as I can do that they've been through the mill with Ashley, blah, 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 blah. But when the Saudi takeover didn't happen and when this one inevitably doesn't happen, it will be, conspiracy against blah, blah, blah. And it's kind of like, careful, you're sounding like Man City fans when they did this. And then the Man City fans, they were sounding like the Liverpool fans. And then they were sounding like the other fans. Blah, 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 blah. Basically, every fan of every club, or a lot of them, it's all about, if we've been hard done by, then it's a conspiracy against us. We can't be a conspiracy against every club.
No, but also I would say that I was chatting to producer Charlie before the show and thought, how easy would it be to start a new bid?
Yeah, that's what. Well, that's
just
what I mean.
Just get Steve Watson or Lee Clark as a figurehead.
Andy, it's got to be Clarky. It's got to be Clarky.
Andy, you can do a good Geordie accent. You could be involved.
Yes.
How are you?
Lovely.
There you go. You see,
it's all it takes.
That's all you need. That's all you bloody need. Well, yeah. I mean, no wonder Blaise Matuidi went into Miami. He probably thought, I can't wait for Newcastle all day.
You know what I'd think though. Mm-hmm. The transfer window's open till October.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no rush.
Floodgates.
No. Exactly.
Tell you what, goodness knows what their starting 11 is going to be next season, but it should be star-studded. One man that they won't have, though, is David Silva.
Yes, he's made his choice.
Because he has, and a fine choice it is, he's gone to Royal Society, Andy.
It's a beautiful transfer.
It is a beautiful transfer.
This is a beautiful transfer.
Go on, expand on the beauty.
Well,
delve into the beauty.
He looked like he was going to Lazio. Lazio thought they had him, basically. They thought they got him to agree to what was a 3-year deal, but he's accepted a 2-year one from Real Sociedad. And Real Sociedad, right up until the Corona break, were one of the best teams, if not the best team, to watch in La Liga last season. And they came back, and a bit like Getafe, actually, they're chalk and cheese in terms of their footballing style. They never looked at it at all. They really found it hard, and they needed a quite fortunate draw at Atletico Madrid on the final day of the season to get into Europe at all. And they celebrated it like they had got into the Champions League, even though they'd only just scraped into the Europa League. I guess it's because they'd set themselves up
Jose
so
Mourinho-esque.
Yeah, they'd set themselves up so much for qualifying for the Champions League. They're like, well, we've rehearsed the celebration now. I think we'd better do it. But bear in mind that Martin Odegaard, who was in those brilliant first two-thirds of the season, so good for them on loan from Real Madrid. He's now gone back to Real Madrid.
Yeah, it's a bad
move. I mean, this is one heck of a replacement, isn't it?
It is. Mm. It really is.
I mean, they're beautiful to watch anyway.
Compared
yes. to yeah. Is it, I mean, it's a shame for Odegaard, who's had a good season and goes back to Real Madrid, and you hopefully he can I mean, there was a concern it was a bit Sonny Pike. Do you know what I mean?
Was going to happen. They need a bit of freshening up in the middle there.
Yeah.
And we know that he can be one of the best players in La Liga. I quite fancy his chances of getting some games. I don't fancy his chances of starting every week, but I fancy his chances of getting some games and making an impact for Real Madrid.
Mm. But David Silva going to Real Sociedad, he's absolutely beautiful. Marvellous as well. I think, yeah, beautiful is the right word.
There was a lovely email that came in yesterday that I neglected to read out, but James, I think it's Illis on the email, said about David Silva's last match Manchester City. Dear David, thanks for all your years of service to the club. Now I'm going to dump you into this dumpster fire of a match for 6 minutes. You won't have enough time to make an impact, but it'll mean your last City appearance is a shit one. All the best, Pep. Lovely little letter.
It's a shame. I mean, he's won countless trophies for Man City over the years. He's one of the... You could go so far to say one of the best players that's ever played in the Premier League. I mean, absolutely phenomenal. Of course, David Silva will get a statue outside the Etihad, along with Vincent Kompany, who's just fully retired from football.
Proper head coach of Anderlecht now.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. Paul Ince, I'm sure people saw this, seemed a little bit put out by this. And, you know, he said, obviously, Silva's a great player for Manchester City, blah, 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 but he shouldn't be getting statues. He said, it's going a bit far. And he said, you wouldn't see statues of the likes of Henry and Burkamp outside Arsenal. Of all the people, you wouldn't see statues of George Best and Dennis Law and Bobby Charlton outside. You wouldn't see that. You wouldn't see statues of Bobby Moore outside of Wembley. But yeah, maybe pick someone who...
You wouldn't see statues of Lady Liberty on the island.
You wouldn't see an angel of the north, you know.
It's interesting, actually, because once you get past a certain legendary amount of players, we can't do statues of everyone.
What
Atletico Madrid did when they moved into the Metropolitano is they have this kind of, like, walk of fame, like kind of Hollywoodish. But it's everyone who's played like 100 games.
See, that's a nice idea.
For Atletico, and they've got a little plate.
Do you know?
But obviously, when Real Madrid played there for the first time, like people just drop loads of trash on the Thibaut Courtois one.
I tell you what though, near St James's Park, very near, you've got the little walkway. I think it's a nice idea. I think it's more sustainable. Although, I mean, who else? I mean, Man City, Yaya Toure might fancy a statue.
Yeah, it's funny. I was on something the other day when
Joe Hart.
There we go.
In there,
get them all in. Carlos Tevez.
Joe Hart was immense. Like Julian Lescott. Lescott was amazing in that first half.
Gareth Barry.
There we go.
Yes.
There we
go. Getting a book in.
Kevin Keegan.
You know, Yaya Toure is always well underrated on like Man City legends.
Yeah.
Well underrated.
I agree.
And think in that first season when they won the title, any time Mancini wanted to break a match open, it was like, right, I'm going to put you 15 yards further forward and you're going to win me the game.
He was magnificent.
Yeah.
Absolutely magnificent. But a Gareth Barry statue of him and a referee giving him a yellow card, surely. That's got to be the one, hasn't it? Has to be the one. So, yes, good luck, David Silva, in your new adventure in Spain. I think you'll do very well. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we have a Champions League semi-final. It's RB Leipzig versus PSG. Andy, are you cheering for Leipzig like me? You have to do it reluctantly.
Do you?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, you do. All right. That's you, okay. Peter. Do I have to convince you as well?
You get to this point of the Champions League, no one's that lovable. No. So.
Well, Leon.
Yeah.
For Andy's sake.
A Leon PSG final would be perfect.
Is that what you're thinking, Ed? That's what you're thinking. You're thinking Leon should brush past Bayern, and then in the final, who would you fancy if Leon can get past Bayern?
I prefer Leipzig.
Well, there you go.
I prefer Leipzig in the final.
What are you umming and ahhing about?
Because Leon aren't going to make it to the final.
How dare you?
Is there a third place left?
Are you telling me that Memphis Depay is going to stop at the semi, if you pardon the expression?
You know what? Because this season, everything's obviously a bit more pared down. It's not the festival of football that it normally is in the final city. Of course, they normally have a little sort of whole football festival, don't they, with games between former players and music and all that sort of stuff. They won't have the live band that they've had on the pitch for the last couple of years. I mean, you've had Imagine Dragons, Dua Lipa was before the Kiev final.
That's right, yeah.
I mean, surely
Robbie Williams at the World Cup. Stinker.
Surely.
You're still angry about that.
Yeah.
Who did you say it should have been again?
I think in the...
Gambino, in
a fit of trying to sound relevant, I shouted Childish Gambino.
Childish Gambino should have... Who some of our listeners, I'm sure...
It's the World Cup, Marcus!
It is the World
for
Cup.
For crying out loud.
Yeah, it would have been great if he'd have done This Is America on the pitch at the Luzhniki. So no, I'm thinking, because they won't have a band for... Before the final this year.
Get Childish in.
No, Memphis.
Memphis.
He's already there.
Yeah, that is a good
get him
point.
To do some tracks.
Put on my blue suede shoes and I...
Can you sing that? I refrained from that, but I'm glad someone picked up the pieces. It would have been a shame. Well, there we are. We look forward to that. We'll be supporting Leipzig because we'd rather them in the final for Lyon than PSG. Just before we finish, we wanted to pass on our congratulations to Howard Bellaby. What a name.
Wow.
What
Bellaby.
A name. He's no idea this is happening. He's getting married next week. He spends his days giggling away to episodes of The Ramble, apparently, much to the amusement of his partner, Chelsea.
Hello, Chelsea.
All right, Chelsea.
Chelsea Bellaby.
Yeah, well, it sounds like it. Mm. Presumably that'll be the name change.
She chooses it.
Ultimately, Howard's family won't be able to make it from Yorkshire to the US for the wedding because of COVID, which is a massive shame, of course. But we hope you and Chelsea have a cracking day regardless.
They're going from Yorkshire to New York. That's fantastic. From old to new.
There we are.
A marriage is formed. Just in your head. Howard, when you're getting married. Mm. From old to new, a marriage is born. Just imagine
me
saying
that. Do it in a bit
more
of a Yorkshire accent.
No, I'll do it in...
From old to new, a marriage is born.
Yes, from old to new, a marriage is born. Do it in your head when you're getting married, Howard. You're now going to be thinking of us saying that. From old to new, a marriage is born.
In Neil Warnock's accent.
I mean,
maybe he's like...
You know what? I got married in the United States. Yeah. And the bloke who married us, he was this old gentleman who had, like, you know old guys who've got, like, really large ears that look like dog toys?
Yeah. Like pig's ears, yeah.
He spoke very slowly and with the sort of gravitas that might, unfortunately... push that wonderful phrasing out of Howard's head, because I remember he leant in towards us and he went, "You're from England, aren't you? If I know one thing about life, it's when you're making toad in the hole, put chicken stock in the gravy."
Nice. That's lovely. A lovely little tip.
And then on the way out, he said, "Congratulations, and remember, chicken stock in the gravy."
That is superb.
Have you ever been doing an American wedding? I didn't do one in New York. I was attending one, but it went on for ages.
Attending what, sorry?
A Catholic wedding. But Catholic weddings, they go on for a bit longer. But like the priest was, his speech was like making a lot of big leaps, kind of like, you know when men of the Lord make comparisons, they sort of go, he had an analogy. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Thanks, mate. Metaphors. Bible's fucking full of them, mate. I'm a needle. What the fuck does that mean?
Get on with it.
But he had a really thick kind of Bronxy accent.
Did he?
But he's trying, marriage, Jesus is loving the Lord is very much like a roller coaster. Very much like a roller coaster.
Here we go. Bernie Sanders took the wedding again. Everything. I'm out in Texas, you know. And this is how we... I think that sounds lovely.
Cool.
Howard, we hope that something like that happens to you.
I hope your wedding's like a roller coaster. The nemesis of Lightwater Valley.
Right. On tomorrow's show, I shall be joined by Vish and Luke. Should be an absolute cracker. Mm. But do remember, Howard, chicken stock in the gravy.
Yep.
Or as Bernie Sanders would say,
put your fucking chicken stock in gravy, man.
He wouldn't swear.
He would.
Bernie wouldn't.
He gets angry.
Does he? Right.
Healthcare for all.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.